Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ah, yes, just like a blip on your screen, here I am again. I wasn't expecting it. I know you weren't expecting it. This is the Tara Show. I am your guest host today, Bill Frady. I will be the cruise director, if you will. Ingles Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Actually, this is very fortuitous. El Presidente!
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Listen. I've been having a few, shall we say, glitches in my serenity due to retailers.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a problem.
So let me just give you a few examples. Now, you're old enough to remember, and I am too, and you don't have to be that old to remember how it is, where you walk into a store and there would be somebody that says, "Welcome to such and such."
Right, yeah.
So this past weekend, I'm going into a place. It's one of these places where you have to pay to shop there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm walking into this place, and as we're walking in, it's like 5:30. Now, I don't know what time they close, nor do I care, because it's 5:30 and it's Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm walking in there, and while I'm showing my pass to show that I paid to be able to come in here and shop at your place, guy goes, "We close in 30 minutes, so hurry up."
You got to be kidding me.
Now, this is a guy that's older than me. So he remembers when he used to walk in somewhere, they say, "Welcome to so-and-so."
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm walking through there, and they've got a bunch of demonstrators in there, too. And they're like, "Would you like to look at this?" And every time somebody asks me something, I'm like, "No, I can't. I have to hurry up and get out of here. I got to go find my purchase. I don't even have time to sashay. I got to go. I need to get rid of this buggy and just sprint." And then as we're going through the line and everything, I've got all these people are yelling at each other, "Okay, shut that one down. We're getting ready to shut down the whole thing." That's item number one.
Yeah.
Item number two. Now listen, I mean, I give to charity voluntarily. Mm-hmm. I actually seek out the charity I want to give to.
Well, exactly.
And then I give to them.
Right.
But I'm getting really tired of going to places. Like, I went somewhere the other day for nothing in particular.
Right.
Because I'm an American, and I can walk around and waste my time as much as I want to.
Exactly.
And I'm walking between two stores, more retail therapy. Hadn't bought nothing, but I was just between two stores. And there's somebody there playing an accordion really, really well with a sign saying, "Won't you please help? I must help my mother with her rent." With a suitcase that I think they used to call a Stanley Steamer. I think he was hoping to fill that up.
Yeah.
Now, people are partaking of that and enjoying that and everything. And, you know, but this is like, I'm you know, the street musicians down Main Street, that gives it sort of a charm. There's sort of a charm to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're out there, there's so many different types of music they're playing and everything. And it's actually quite good. But I was on Haywood Road. And I just found that, I don't know, off-putting?
Well, at least that's better than the folks that stand by the side of the road at the intersection or, you know, as you exit the park.
With the laminated signs?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The 22-year-old Vietnam veterans who have the PTSD, who, you know, after they get done, they skateboard over to their Mercedes. Mm. Those guys.
Yeah.
I know not all of them are that way. But then this is what takes the cake. You go into certain other places, and you have to run the stand gamut. You have to zigzag through the Girl Scout cookies and the Boys Home, and you know most people going into some of these stores should be really good at escape and evasion because they're like, or maybe football, they'd be really good as a running back because they're juking and jiving to get through all that. Then you go in there and you shop, and you're shopping. And there's a profit margin in that shopping, whether it's groceries or clothes or whatever it is. Then you get done, and the cashier is going to ask you one of two things. Do you want to round up to save the cockroaches? Or would you like to contribute to do this?
Yeah.
Now, once again, charity is fine.
Yeah.
Except when you give to these charities for these companies, you're given the money, then the company takes that money in a lump sum, and then they donate it. They get to be the one standing there with a check and feeling good, and they get to write that off. That's a charitable deduction on their taxes. So not only did I help them on their bottom line by shopping there, I also rounded up to save the cockroaches. And I'm just beginning to wonder, when is it enough? What have we become to where charity has become like a workaround? I need your thoughts before I start my headbutt therapy that I'm going to work over here on this table.
My only issue,
Bobby Mack's table will not survive.
Exactly. My only issue with it is the time and just, you know, they're trying to guilt shame you into making a donation. And I'm perfectly happy with my tithe at my church and the other organizations and charitable groups that I choose to donate to, whether it is with my time or with my money, what little there is. Unfortunately, that is just one of the problems that we run into as a what I would refer to as a first world problem.
Well, you know, I got to go back to Sam Kinison again because he used to do this bit where he'd be talking about where they. He'd be like, you know, when they're filming these commercials for these far-off places where they're starving, you know there's a camera crew there, big strapping young men that are filming some child that is clearly dying, and you know they could just hand that child a sandwich.
Yeah, really, please.
They could just hand that child a sandwich, but they're doing that to – and I wonder if they did hand that child a sandwich afterwards, at least in compensation for that filming or whatever, to work for that. But, I mean, charity is – I always thought that the real charity is – something you feel and then you act upon it. Mm-hmm. And now they're either trying to make it compulsive or impulsive.
Yeah.
The same way they try to, you know, like make sure that all the really bad cookies that are really bad for you are right at eye level when you're walking down the cookie aisle. It's become a psychological thing where they're out there. And look, I get it. Hey, I would do it too if I could. But at the same time, I just see these board meetings where these guys are sitting there going, what's our bottom line looking like? We're doing really good. We did 14% increase last year. Great. How could we make that better? We could do more charity. Excellent. Let's start the roundup for the to save the cockroach program.
Well, apparently they. I don't know. That's a good one. Save the cockroaches. Yeah.
Well, they're always wanting to save something.
Yeah.
They're always wanting to save something, which I want to save something too. But at, you know. That's the other thing, like, and I know a lot of people are going to get upset about this, but like when it came out with Wounded Warrior, how much of their money actually went towards administrative costs versus going to Wounded Warriors.
Right.
That makes me very suspect of anybody out there trying to collect money for anybody, because I do know, you know, running a nonprofit is very profitable.
Yeah, that's it can be. It shouldn't be, but it can be.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always very suspicious of any group or organization that wants to take my money to give it to some other individual, and that includes our federal, state, county, and municipal governments.
They want you to turn up Bob's mic, Ghost Rider.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which one of us is supposed to be Bob, though. But you're El Presidente.
Yes.
Well, you can't be Bob. It must be me. So turn up Bob's mic. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest.
I think that producer Chris was anticipating you going into that Sam Kinison routine because he would always scream. So I think he was anticipating a.
I don't have the throat for that today. Okay. Sam had that range. Oh,
baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
takes a special kind of guy to be able to open a segment to Rob Zombie. I wish I knew who could. Ingles Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Yes, Scott and Taylors, I agree. It's all scripted. All scripted. If you pay very close attention to the leftists, and for just so everybody knows what I'm talking about, the Democrats, because now they've been taken over by the leftists, they have one template. They have one template. We're all going to die unless we let them have power, and we have to give something up in order for them to save us from ourselves. With single payer, it's going to take all of our money, and they now get to decide whether we live or die. With guns, well, we can't have any. That'll stop everything, except we actually know that'll just open up the floodgates. And then there's the climate scam. The climate scam is a great one because they always have deadlines on the climate scam. We always come to the deadlines, and then, none of their prophecies come true. They'll go out and they'll find a polar bear that is sick and is probably at the end of its life and everything. And polar bears are not always these big, magnificent creatures. If they live a nice, long, natural life, they eventually age, get old, and either start trying to kill humans to try to stay alive because now they have to go find prey that they're still faster than, or they just die. And they don't look very majestic as they head that way. So they'll go and they'll film something like that, or they'll film where they're, they'll film water and say, this used to be ice. But do they really believe, good morning, Veronica, do they really believe that the climate crisis is an emergency? They've dubbed it an emergency. I don't know, and I don't even know why we should be considering any legislation at all, because we're going to be dead in 12 years. We're going to incinerate in 12 years. Why just have a free-for-all? Now, Beto O'Rourke, he comes in, he's the most economical of the climate changers. He just wants to spend $5 trillion over the next 10 years investing in climate change initiatives, primarily for vulnerable communities, whatever that means. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. The cars today are cleaner burning with fossil fuel than the cars of yesterday. We all know this. I remember cars, we used to, going down the street, if you saw a car that did not smoke, it probably wasn't cranked. Nowadays, if you see a car smoking, you're like, well, something's wrong with that one. Because they're such pieces of technology nowadays. And one day, we'll have the Mr. Coffee Fusion mounted on the back, and we'll be able to run our car with an old Pabst Blue Ribbon can and a banana peel, and we'll be able to go for about 5 years on that. One day, when the technology takes us there, these initiatives they're trying to fund, I mean, why stop there? I want a Jetsons car. I thought we'd be in the Jetsons cars by now. Kamala Harris wants to spend $700 billion a year to find the utopian garden future. Bernie Sanders, who is a supporter of the Green New Deal, proposes going even further and banning any new developments that will require fossil fuel. Cory Spartacus Booker, he uses climate change to drum up fear, claiming that with a reintroduced bill that the environment is racist. And he wants to legislate veganism. Notice how all of these things primarily depend on them being able to take something from you. And in Corey's case, he just wants to, he wants to actually just, legislate what you eat. And all in all, looking at just the remaining 2020 Democrat proposals, the total amounts to $180 trillion over a period of 10 years, with climate change and health care for all mandates taking up the majority of this desired spending. Let me say that again. $180 trillion. By the way, that's 12 zeros. Actually, it's 13 zeros. That's more than half of the combined wealth of all current wealth in the entire world, which is $241 trillion right now. And some astrophysicist has come up with a formula that the Earth itself is worth around 4.25 quadrillion U.S. dollars, and the Democrats want to spend 5% of that on two policies of theirs. And you know, according to them, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, we're all going to be dead in 12 years. We're going to get burned out. So why would they even want to spend anything? Why would they even go that way? So while they're eager to spend more money than monopoly money printers could ever print, do they actually believe it's a crisis? Why are they focused on America, not backing off something more effective than this? Okay, let's go to the phones. This is Don. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I was wondering, my dad and I have talked about this a long time, and a lot of the energy that we use is actually lost through heating and cooling of places like our homes and businesses. And back in the day, if they would have, they being Congress, instead of focusing on cars, would have focused on building, we probably use 30% less energy overall than we do right now, even if the cars weren't changed. And a lot of our energy comes from the burning of fossil fuels. So I don't understand, like, they're going the wrong direction.
Well, see,
so
what, I think it's no, Don, what you're doing is you're throwing logic at the left. They're not ready to play catch with you, Don. They don't want to catch your logic. You're talking
right.
Sense. You're talking engineering sense, but that there's nothing involved in that with the leftist bent. They want to do this to take control.
Like, honestly, if you wanted to, I'm going to put up air quotes here. I know you can't see them. Compromise, like from both sides of the aisle. I'm throwing in a bunch of keywords here. Then they could say, well, hey, according to how we use our energy, if we were to legislate, new construction, we would save this much more in 10 years. Now, if they were to say no, they being the left were to say no, then, I mean, I know it's logic. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'll go with my feelings from now on.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. There is no compromise with these people. There's no appeasement. Compromising with them indicates that we actually believe part of what they say. I'm not willing to make a deal with them just to make them go away if it's a bad deal. If they get out there and say, well, you know, I want to kill you. What do you want? Well, I would settle for you just maiming me. Okay. Can't have that. Can't have that. Running out of time. Thank you very much for the call, sir. See, the refreshing part is on my show, I get so used to my bumps that I'm sort of like, oh, it's that tune again. Here the bumps are fluid. It's a liquid situation. Totally kinetic in the way it goes. Ghost Rider's looking around like, I'm just playing this, dude. I mean, it's not kinetic or anything. Ingalls Advantage Talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Yes, Ghost Rider.
You said it was a liquid situation. I was worried you had spilled something.
No. Right. Well, you'd be seeing sparks fly.
Yes.
We want to take a poll. Do you guys want us to start setting up a recording, a visual recording of what happens in here during the break? And you will have to all sign waivers and non-disclosure statements if you watch it. On the text line, you have played the same loop of ads 4 or 5 times in a row. That's because we want you to buy that stuff. So go buy that stuff. Great powers of observation. You may have noticed that all of the advocates out there of federal gun control, and yeah, we were going to go to the phones, except we lost the caller, or he left or whatever. But they're all arguing for the same result, which is federal limitation upon the federal on your individual right to own a gun. And the underlying argument is why they believe that the federal government should be allowed to do so can vary, and often is quite the variation is very wild. There are some who argue, for example, that the Second Amendment was never meant to guarantee any individual right, like CNN's Fredo Cuomo. Of course, he should be red flagged. Some others may argue that the Second Amendment only protects guns owned for the purposes of hunting or sport. Both of those things are intellectually indefensible, given the very precise wording of the Second Amendment. I mean, you can get out there. That for those of you that think that regulate means that you can put rules on it, that means that they were dressed the same, had the same equipment, and trained the same way. That's what regulated meant in the vernacular of the time. So there's also a lot of facts that give a lot of historical context into the way it was put into the Constitution, what it was meant to do. So these examples are rarer than the other and more honest argument among gun control activists that I've encountered. Now, they do concede, and they'll sit out there and say, well, we respect the Second Amendment, and then they'll tell you exactly why they don't. But they concede that the Second Amendment does protect an individual right to own firearms, but they just never imagined a weapon as deadly as an AR-15. And yes, they did. That's why they say arms and not muskets, and they say arms and not swords, and they say arms and not single-shot thingies, because they imagined what was coming. And there were multiple shot weapons of the time there, too. And, you know, despite the fact that the deadliest firearms on the planet at the time of the ratification was clearly meant to be legally kept in law-abiding American citizens' homes. See, the weapons of war that were introduced during the Revolutionary War came off of the gun racks of farmers. Those were the weapons of war. But in the end, all of these arguments boil down to one thing. When they're out there telling you what you need, or what you don't need for that, irrespective of that whole mental gymnastic exercise that where how you philosophically get there, these kind of arguments invariably go something like this. Why does anyone need and insert any arbitrarily chosen gun or gun accessory or caliber or muzzle velocity or rate of fire, cosmetic accoutrement or magazine size, et cetera, et cetera? Why does anybody need that? Why does anybody need a bayonet underlug? Which today is one of the, I trained with bayonet, but I knew the spirit of the bayonet, but I never actually got issued a bayonet when I was in the military. So if you're a proponent of limited government and individual right, sometimes you can and often do present a substantial argument as to why weapons like that might be necessary to protect ourselves against evil neighbors or government agents who might choose to infringe upon our right to life and liberty. And it is a testimonial to the fact that we have been an armed society as to why we haven't had to fight the government. Does anybody ever ask that question? Why haven't we had to fight the government? Well, because the government knows what would happen. They've had one. The Civil War was one of those things that nobody really wants to repeat. It was a horror that nobody wants to repeat. There's a reason they say war is hell. Now, there is no such thing as an assault weapon, right? That's a term that was made, that's a political term, made up by gun grabbers. There is no such thing as a gun buyback, because you have to actually have owned something and then sold it to somebody in order to buy it back. That's actually confiscation. And there's no evidence that shows either one of those things, banning assault weapons, which don't exist, or buybacks that never, you know, are not, you know, defensible. They do nothing at all to reduce homicide rate. And our violent crime and murder rates, it has fallen steadily since 2004, when the national assault weapons ban was lifted in 2004. And we're awash in guns, people. We are awash. Another thing that we know, and this is coming from the CDC. Now, if we really don't like violent crime, we know that with the CDC, they have a range of 500,000 to 3 million times a year defensive gun use. That's how often it happens. So according to the CDC, if they were to have their way, then we have a crime surge of somewhere between 500,000 and 3 million additional crimes. And we don't know where they go. They might be homicides. They might be rapes. They might be carjacks. We just had a carjack in Simpsonville yesterday at the Home Depot. In order for the Second Amendment to mean anything, we have to be able to possess the kind of weapons it would take to face our government. That's a simple fact. Second Amendment has nothing to do with duck hunting. It has nothing to do with sports shooting. It has nothing to do with collecting. It has nothing to do with any of these other periphery things that people will tell you, well, you don't need this for that. That's true. I don't. That's not why it exists. So if my legally protected right to keep and bear arms, if it is mine, and if it's true that that right shall not be infringed by the federal government, then the question about why I might need an AR-15 or an AR-99 or, you know, any combination of alphabet and numbers becomes inconsequential. The more appropriate question here is why anyone else believes that they have the right to demand that the federal government take this defined right, this explicitly defined right, from me or anybody else. But we're always hearing about our need and what we don't need. Do we need this? Do we not need that? So leftists will ask questions like, why does somebody need X million amount of dollars? Legally acquired dollars, I might add. And we shouldn't be sitting around going, I wonder why he does need that. The question is, when did it become the Bill of Needs? It's never been the Bill of Needs. I know all of you think I'll answer to anything because you're calling me Tara and Jimbo. Maybe soon I'll be called Tim. Let's go to the phones to Tom. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Yeah, Bill, I was in California 1970 Labor Day weekend, and I saw not quite 100 Hell's Angels going down the highway. They did have state troopers on both ends of them.
Right.
But I thought, you know, I'm not going to use the word assault weapon, but an AR-15 is a, you know what that is.
Well, but, the Department of Homeland Security refers to them as personal defense weapons.
Okay. Well, I thought, you know, I wouldn't want to have 20, 30, 40 people pull up my driveway that I wasn't prepared for. That's my comment.
Well, you know what? Nowadays, you know that Tucker Carlson had 25 or 30 people show up at his driveway when he was not home. And they started beating on his door and everything else. And his wife was there alone. They cracked his door. And Tucker Carlson is an AR-15 owner. But, I mean, nobody pulled up the gun and said, hey, what y'all selling? Because that's what I would have done. I would just thrown open the door going, no, I don't want a vacuum cleaner.
Well, you know, I've had a G3, which is the same as HK-91.
Right.
But I don't have it in my – I just gave it to somebody else for a while. But I've got 12-gauge riot gun, you know, buckshot. I kind of like that idea. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just, I just prefer capacity.
You know, I mean,
when I go an hour, if you were looking in the back of my car and I was going an hour away, you would swear that I'm a member of some secret squirrel assault force. Just because I'm,
let
you know.
Let me make you laugh. I got in a traffic situation one time, and I got pulled over. I was turned loose, but I had an HK-91, which is the G3, original G3, 308. And I had my riot gun, and I had my 9mm Beretta, and the cops didn't even blink an eye.
Sure. That's perfectly legal to ride around with that stuff in your car. It's not illegal. You don't have to. That's one reason I do it, because I wouldn't be breaking the law. But
well,
I'm glad.
I do.
Yes?
Well, I do security work up here for some private individuals, and I am in the woods also during deer season, et cetera, if I choose to hunt. I grew up with guns. Of course, my dad was a military officer. So I can't picture not having a gun. You can't walk 30 feet around my property without touching a weapon. Hey, I've got bears come in here. I've got people not. I had six guys pull up my driveway one time in three different vehicles, and I had my G3 308. So you know what they are.
Right.
20-round mag. And I was prepared for those guys. And then we talked it around.
That's why you have those for you. That's for you to have those things for the unexpected.
And I don't have wife and children here because I'm retired, et cetera. But every woman I've ever been around, I train them thoroughly how to handle weapons to be prepared. My people are not going to get mugged, carjacked, and raped because of stupidity.
Yeah. Running out of time, Tom. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks, Bill.
Yes, sir. When we get back, the rant continues. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.